This program was first broadcast on Tōroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening, I'm Kelvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program. For further information, you can log on to www.findthelight.org or www.tōroa radio.co.nz. And or myself, Kelvin Lyon, RD2Waitati, 9085, New Zealand, or phone 03-4822-698. Good evening. Well, we've been going through a series here on dealing with the situation in the Middle East prior to Jesus' return. I quoted a while ago from Luke chapter 21 that Jesus himself said, he referred to Israel like the fig tree, and you'd see the fig tree grow prior to his coming into the land. We also have various other places in the Old Testament scriptures that refer to a returning to the land of Israel of the Jewish people in the latter days. I'd just like to lead a couple. Jeremiah 31, for argument's sake. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman and the child, and here that travail with child together, a great company shall return hither. He says there, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off. He that scattered Israel shall gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. We can go over to Jeremiah chapter 32. Behold, I'll gather them out of the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and my fury in great wrath, and I'll bring them again into this place, and I'll cause them to dwell safely. For thus saith the Lord, like as I brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. You see, the Holy Bible tells us that God called out a certain family of people, beginning with Abraham, from the people of the earth, a man he found favor with God, and he chose him and his family and made special promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to his seed forever. All that nation, the nation of Israel, and what we've got in their Bibles, it is to do with God calling this nation, giving them special laws, but also indicating that if they did not obey his way, he would punish them severely. And therefore what we have, we've had many punishments. They've been, Lot were killed by Sennacherib when he came into the land. A lot were taken to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar at about 600 BC. The prophets recorded that they would return from there under certain people, Nehemiah, Ezra, those books are in the Bible to tell us of who came back, what they did, how they established themselves in the land. And we also know that in AD 70, well, the scriptures sort of, they tell us that because of their rejection of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, by putting him on that cross, instructing Pilate to do that, to crucify him, that punishment came upon him. In AD 70, there was a massive siege of Jerusalem for a long time. Many, over a million people were killed there. They were scattered. They fled for themselves, the people in the land. The ones that couldn't get into the Jerusalem inside the walls, they scattered. When it was broken down, a few more scattered, but many were slaughtered. In AD 135, the Romans had another clean out of them and dispersed them further. Changed the land, it would no more be called Israel. And they were scattered to the four winds. As the scriptures tell us, if you read the prophecies of Deuteronomy chapter 28, that God never forgot his people. He said there would be a returning. Jesus said it before his second coming. The scriptures speak of a return. Now this is not the return under Ezra and Nehemiah. This is return that he would provide a future for them in Israel, a king to reign over them. Remember, Jesus was crucified, the king of the Jews. Art thou a king? He said, to this end was I born. If we read the Acts of the Apostles, before he ascended into heaven, he was asked, I'll just read that a little bit there, in Acts chapter 1, it tells you on his ascension. He was with his people after his resurrection for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he, ye have heard of me. And when they were therefore come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, talking about that kingdom of God, kingdom of Israel, he said. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And further down, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, that was his apostles, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Yes, there's a parable in Luke chapter 19 that speaks about him going away to receive the kingdom and bring it back and to establish it. And at a period, a long time of his departure. Because they wanted to make him king when he came from Jericho up to Jerusalem. The apostles wanted to. That's in Luke 19. I'll just give you a quick resume on a couple of bits there. As they went up to Jerusalem, that's right. And then he took unto them the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now that's referring to his first appearance, not all. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, shall be mocked and spitefully entreated, spitted on. They shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and they sang, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. That's Luke chapter 18, 31 to 34. And in 19 he says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And then he called them, this is giving the talents, the 10 pounds, and occupy till I come. You see, he was indicating going away and leaving the apostles with certain work to do. And that word has gone on to all believers, passed on to anyone that would believe in the gospel as he sent them out to teach. Believe on the gospel, obey the gospel, and be baptized. And therefore, our duty is to show others the way through Jesus Christ to the Father. To look forward to that kingdom when he returns. To have forgiveness for our sins, because that's what he overcame on the cross. He did no sin, therefore death couldn't hold him. He was raised from the dead the third day, as he said there. So what we're doing now, we're trying to think about and look at the scriptures concerning the situation in Israel prior to his coming, and what should we look for? Well, it's in Daniel chapter 2 and Ezekiel 38 it says the latter days. In Daniel chapter 2 it talks of the time of the end. Now we went through Ezekiel chapter 38 last week, indicating the nations that would come against the land of Israel prior to the coming of Jesus. We went through the names of them. If you have a Bible, open up and have a look there. Look at those names. And I'll read a wee extract that I've prepared here from the first one to, say, verse 6. It talks about a whole lot of nations. But I'll read this part here. By turning to a map of Europe and Asia, the reader can trace out the territory of the kingdom of Babylon, as it is destined to exist in the last form under the King of the North in his Gog manifestation. The names of the countries furnished by Ezekiel will lead to a conception to understand in its general extent. Beside all the rushes, it will take in Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, Belgium, France, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Turkey, Persia or Iran, Greece, Roman North Africa, which is Libya, but it will take over Egypt. It will extend too from the across into parts of to the eastern side of Iran round there, because it speaks of Persia, Ethiopia and Libya. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Tagama, which is sort of in the Turkish area. Gomer and Magog are areas of Europe, the EU. And if we're looking at verse 3, Tubal or Tobolsky, it is to the east of Russia, of Moscow, put it that way, Moscow. And to indicate the time, it talks about them. They shall say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. The land of Israel they're coming upon. And what we see here is not verse 11 as yet. They are pretty well armed and defensive to themselves. But verse 8 refers to the latter years, refers to 16, the latter days. And we finished at verse 16 last week. So now we'll pick it up from there. Thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I'll bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog. Now that's similar to what we get in, see, coming against them. If we just go over the page a little bit to Joel. Joel's a prophet in the scriptures that is also referring to this latter day assemble of these nations. And if we're reading chapter 3, for behold, in those days and that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, that's what God is saying. He's bringing them captive back into their own land. And then he carries on, he says, and I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now that's valley of judgment, actually, Jehoshaphat means. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And then he says over the page there, we've come down to verse 9. He says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Now Gentiles are nations that are not Jewish, not Israeli, you know. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat their sword, plowshares into swords, their pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. And then he says, let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. It's just off the side of Jerusalem. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. See, that's where you get that judgment from, Jehoshaphat, Valley of Judgment. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full, the fats are overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the Lord, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Listen to this. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall also shall roar out of Zion, utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, and the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall they know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her any more. Righto. Now look, we'll just duck back to Ezekiel. Remember we finished a little bit there in Ezekiel, saying that they will come against the nation of Israel. Verse 15, thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, great company, them riding upon horses a mighty army, shall come up against my people Israel, to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old times by my servants, the prophets of Israel? Now that's a present terminology of speaking about the prophet Ezekiel and the other prophets speaking of this time, which prophesied in those days, many years, that I would bring thee against them. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog, that's who we're talking about in this chapter, Gog and his confederacies, shall come up against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury will come up in my face. For the jealousy and the fury, fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Now this is exactly the same time. What we're talking about is what we said here in Joel in a different way. Let the heathen awake and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I'll call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I'll plead against him with pestilence and with blood. A rain upon him, and upon his bands, and upon his many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of the nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. See, Israel will have no opportunity to boast that they've beaten this great mighty king of the north, this north that comes down here. It is the Lord God that saves Israel. It is the Lord God that destroys, puts in the sickle, does the harvest, does the judgment, as Amos speaks of. Now I just want to duck back to Daniel here too. Those nations that are inclusive in those ones that come together are basically the same nations that's in Daniel 2, where it talks about the image, the Daniel's image. You've probably heard of that, when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and Daniel gave the interpretation of this mighty image. And if you go down to Daniel 2:44, it says, and in the days of these kings, of all those ones together, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and shall stand forever. And then he says in 45, verse 45, chapter 2 of Daniel, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that referring to it's not a man-made stone or as a type, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. This is the kingdoms of men, and this big image is being broken down by a stone. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. This is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that stone that break down those kingdoms of men. He is also the one that goes forth in Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's more. And it is the same that will do the judgment for God, Jesus, his representative, in Amos. We had it in Daniel. We had it in Ezekiel. We've got it in, Joel. And we also have it in, here we are, yeah, in Habakkuk chapter 3. The Lord, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive the work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. The Lord came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covereth the heavens and the earth, and his brightness was as the light. And he had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beholded and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. The prophet says, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. The Lord displeased against the rivers. Was thine anger against the rivers? Was the wrath against the sea? That thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thrash the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, the same as we had in Ezekiel 38. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, says the prophet. Look, just while we're on that, we need to duck over to the other prophet that is speaking about the same end time here. Well, he talks about in chapter 8 of Zechariah how he will dwell in Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And he says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country, from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. If we just turn the page a couple of times, a couple of pages, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of his crown lifted up as an ensign upon the land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. You see, friends, the scriptures are talking about Israel. It is talking about this promised time to come, the promised time after the Armageddon. Many people use Armageddon as they know it's a, don't know really where it comes from the Bible, but they use it knowing it is a battle that will have great repercussions, but know no more about it. But we do know that from the scriptures, friends, that he says here, I'm bringing them back to Israel. But then he says, before he sets up his kingdom there, Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling among all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. See, friends, Jerusalem is a stumbling block. Jerusalem is a place that people burden themselves with. The Palestinians burden themselves with. How many religions like to base their religion there in Jerusalem? Judah, which is the Jewish religion, Judaism. Christianity, because Jesus was there and the following the life of Christ and where he was crucified, and the and people like to go there to see where he walked and see where he healed people, see where he fed the 5,000, and see where he preached and did those things that are spoken of in the New Testament. But there is also Catholicism there. The Catholics have land there. The Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, has land there. Many people have land there. Many different religions have land there. And also the Dome of the Rock is on the site where Solomon's temple was built. So there is a controversy over Jerusalem. But let's remember how it speaks here of Zion, of Jerusalem. It is Jewish. It will be Jewish. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Remember how he speaks them? He speaks them as heathens. And I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Who was pierced in Jerusalem? Who was pierced and put on a cross? And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And then, if we go on a little further, and one shall say unto him, this is about the piercing, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. His friends should have been Jerusalem, should have been Jews, should have been the Israel people. But no, they spoke against him. They were scared of the Romans. They wanted Barabbas released when Pilate was going to offer at the special time, a releasing of a prisoner. Crucified Jesus. But listen here. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I'll turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third will be left therein. And I'll bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I'll hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. You see, the last chapter of Malachi gives us the joy at the finish. But at the beginning, remember, he'll gather nations against Jerusalem to battle. Remember how Joel said he'd bring the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem? Zechariah says, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord. Cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst thereof, and I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And as we read in Ezekiel and Joel, listen to this, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. It's when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. An earthquake. There shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half toward the south. And ye shall flee the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. So who are the saints, friends? Saints are ones that have been judged by the Lord Jesus Christ and have been found worthy. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, no, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. That's half to the Mediterranean, and half into the Dead Sea, which will be brought to life again. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And men shall dwell in thee, and there shall be no more an utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. But look at this. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have come fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbour, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbour. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations who came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If the family of Egypt go not up, there'll be no rain. Thus shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep this feast of tabernacles. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and ye and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see them, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Israel. You see, friends, our time is gone, but I've just got one little wee bit to speak about Armageddon. Armageddon, that name, he gathered them into a place called, as it says in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Why is it referred to in the Hebrew tongue? Because there is no land, there is no place really in Israel that is called Armageddon. But by stating it as a Hebrew tongue, I'll read the verse, and he gathered them together into the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So you see, Armageddon, Valley of Judgment, Place of Judgment, Valley of Threshing, multitudes, you say, in the Valley of Threshing, for the day of Yahweh is near in the Valley of Threshing. In the Revelations, the same locality is styled Armageddon, and has gathered them together in a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Yahweh gathered them together without their perceiving the hand that led them on to the slaughter. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Various derivations have been given of this mystical name, for such it is, insomuch as there is no such name of any place in the land of Israel. But Micah says, Yahweh will gather many nations as sheaves into the floor for threshing, you see. Under the aspect of things, they are a heap of sheaves upon the threshing floor. And this idea is represented by the word, the first two syllables of the name. The third indicates where the heap is to be, namely, in the valley. And the last syllable for what purpose the heap is there, namely, for judgment. Armageddon, which in a Greek sort of a style is given the name in upper Greek. The reason why the text states that the place or valley is Hebrew so-called is to give us understanding in that country the place is situated. In the country with the native tongue being Hebrew. Well, thank you for listening tonight, friends. Time is way gone. But we'll continue on with this further subject and looking at some of the other nations and situations that are happening, and then also looking at beyond this Armageddon, this judgment, this threshing of the nations, and what's going to be in store for the earth in that time. Wonderful. It is commonly known, though, as the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, well, God bless you in your efforts and studying his word and looking forward to that time when Jesus returns to set up that glorious kingdom. Remember, we've been invited. It's worth the effort because the world is heading to a catastrophe and many people know it, sooner or later. But anyway, the scriptures give us this wonderful hope. At the time of the end, the latter day, end time prophecies are all there to give us this wonderful hope. Thank you very much. Good night.
This program was first broadcast on Tauroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.